Jerry Eisenberg comes bounding down the ramp into the coffee shop at the Station Casino in Henderson, Nevada. "Barry," he asks, "I am about to have lunch with this best sports writer you've never heard of." We sit. He wants a booth. Old Jews want booths. Old Jews like coffee shops. My father is also an old Jew. More about this in a minute. Jerry doesn't need a menu. "Look," he tells the waitress, "I want ham and cheese on that bread. You know, that bread. What is that bread you have? The bread. And bring me a bowl of soup." He looks at me. "I'm not ready to order." I order. I grew up reading Jerry Eisenberg in the 1970s. He wrote about sports, football, baseball, but boxing was his specialty, Ali specifically. Eisenberg appeared on a show called Sports Extra. It was a precursor to SportsCenter. His prose was poetry. He wrote about sports from the adult table. He talked about Ali winning in Zaire against Foreman and then taking a walk along the river in Kinshasa after the fight. "The most famous and loneliest man in the world," he described him. Now Ali is wherever Parkinson's victims go. Jerry has lost a friend. He wouldn't know who the hell I am. I contacted Jerry a few months back after some story I had written for an online magazine about the New Jersey Star-Ledger, his paper for half a century. "You were the greatest sports writer I ever read," I emailed him. He wrote back, "What do you mean was? I'm old. I'm not dead." Charles Pierce of Esquire said, "When I was a baby sports writer, Jerry was one of the old guys around whom I would, in a relative sense, shut up and listen." I will do that today. The meal comes. Jerry's not happy. Old Jews in coffee shops never are. "You know," he says to me, "in this country, many people eat French fries with ketchup." The waitress returns. "This place," he tells her, and now he's smiling, "is 1,000 times better than when the old owners had it." He's flirting with her. She brings the ketchup. "Here," I say, "I brought you two of my books. You're under no obligation to read past the inscription page." No, I'd like to," he says. "Give me your address and I'll send you mine." I do. The waitress comes by again. I ask if she'll take a picture of us. I am, God help me, going to post the picture on Facebook. I climb into Jerry's side of the booth. God help me again. Jerry smiles. I smile. The picture is taken. He tells me about a book he's writing on the Negro League, another one of former NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle, and how he just bought a house with a big window so he could see the mountains. In Jersey, he didn't see mountains. I'm sitting across from a man who has seen the last 60 years of America but somehow missed the mountains. He has covered every Super Bowl, every one of them. He had his wrist broken by a cop at the Democratic National Convention in 1968. He's still angry at Eugene McCarthy for not showing up. "Hey, Gene, where the hell are you? These kids are getting their heads bashed in," he tells me the story. He picks up the check. "The greatest sports writer you've never heard of is buying me lunch." But then he drops it. Literally, the check falls out of his hand. I'm now under the table, literally at his feet. The symbolism is ridiculous. I pick it up. It drops. Again, I'm under the table. One more time, it drops. "Jerry, this is getting embarrassing." He tells me a joke about a Jewish grandmother who calls her grandson and says, "Come visit me, and when you get here, ring the doorbell with your elbow." "Why my elbow, Grandma?" "What?" she asks. "You're coming empty-handed?" Old Jews like jokes about older Jews. We get up to leave. Yes, the check drops again. At the register, we see my father coming into the coffee shop. "Told you. My dad is 86. Jerry is 82. Jerry's happy there's a Jew in Las Vegas older than he is. My father's just happy there's another Jew." My father sits down at the counter as I walk Jerry out. "I have to get an envelope for your books," he tells me. "Why? Are you sending them back to me?" No, he laughs. He's going to go gamble, and he needs something to hold them in. "Was wonderful meeting you," I say. "Yeah, nice." And with my books in a FedEx envelope, he heads to the sports book. He has the gait of a man half his age. When I get home, there's a package, two books inside, one about the New York Giants, one his autobiography. Through my eyes, with the inscription, "Remember, Barry, a friend in need is a pain in the ass." Jerry.